Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the podcast. It's You Up, the podcast. Hit of Pod Monday morning is when this is coming out. It's Sunday late afternoon, early evening. I don't know. You can call it either one if you want to. Here in St. Louis, there is a cardinal looking at me. Not a baseball player, although they do live in this neighborhood, but a legit cardinal bird on a branch is like making eyes at me. I'm not fucking with you, dude. I'm just doing a podcast. Yes, there is a house of seed between me and you right now, but I don't have a problem with you going up there. Just get it. Just go get it. Animals always think you want to kill them. Every fucking animal just is on, just, oh, I'm like, chill, squirrel. Like, I'm not, you think, what do you think I want to do with you? You think you're so cool? I mean, yes, I want to pet literally every animal, even squirrels. So maybe they have something, but I just want to make them feel good. I don't want to, like, I just want to make them come. Okay, good. That bird is finally on. Oh, it can't really balance on the bird feeder. It's so cute. God, I love teenager birds. They're the best. The ones that have like too much fluff going on. They're not babies, but this is like their first spring, and they're stupid as shit, and they don't know how to work a feeder. Oh, you figured it out? It's dumb cardinal. It's not. Oh, it is baseball season. Never mind. It is the cardinal season. Yeah, I'm in St. Louis. I haven't talked to you guys in a week. I took last week off. I just needed some me time. Can you imagine if that was why I took last week off? Hilarious. No, I wanted it to be not me time. I felt ridiculous talking last week, and maybe you're rolling your eyes, or maybe you're nodding along and saying, yes, we didn't need you. I hope you're nodding along, because I truly, I didn't feel necessary last week, and in a way, I don't even feel necessary this week. I'm doing this because, you know, I do feel like I'm jumping on the bandwagon. First of all, I jumped off the band. I got on board with everyone else being like, we're not going to do anything. We're going to go dark. And I thought that was a good idea, because it was exactly how I felt like what I should be doing. Do I feel like I should be doing a podcast today? I don't know. But, you know, how long do you take off? I'm not making money off this. I'm going to say some things that I think will be helpful to the Black Lives Matter movement. So I justify it that way. But does anyone need to hear what a white girl has to say right now? No. And I'm not like mad about it. Feels really good, actually, to take a backseat and to, and as a comedian, I gotta say, like, I just think that I have more to say than other people, and I like hearing myself talk and all of those things. And I felt really good giving that up last week. I'm such a hero. I hope you guys acknowledge that I did post a black box on my Instagram. So that means that I've done enough. No, of course not. I did post a black box. That was like, I don't know if I'm going to be honest about it. Like, I just didn't want to post anything, but then it seemed like everyone was posting the black box, and if you didn't post the black box, then you were racist, and then what do you caption in the black box? All of this stuff, by the way, like, white people, shut up. I had a lot of friends talking to me, and I'm sure white people listening, you also either felt this way, or you heard other white people complain about, I don't feel like I'm doing enough, and like, this person posted this thing, and it's like, everyone needs to like move at their own pace and like stop judging me, because like, I'm sorry I can't post all the time, and I can't go, like, you're feeling threatened that you're not doing enough, that whole thing of like, you're feeling bad. Good. You should feel bad. I feel it, but good. Don't make this about you. A lot of my white friends, and myself included, had the impulse to feel victimized by people posting like, you're not doing enough, but I'm trying, or I don't know how, all that. Shut up. Just shut up. I really just feel like when friends would call me about it, I go, listen, I love you, and I know this is coming from a good place, but this is just another way to make it about you. So just either just take it. Just admit that you wouldn't feel bad if you were doing enough, right? So that's how I feel. Am I doing enough? Hell no. Do I plan on doing more? Am I doing more than I did in the last movement? Yes. Do I have a lot of growth to do? Yeah. And you know what's a great video that I really recommend watching that really cut to the heart of it is a girl on Instagram named Kemi Doll, K-E-M-I-D-O-L-L. Just go look at her last post. I have a feeling that it'll still be up. I reposted on my Instagram, so it should still be up. If it's beneath, if it's not past 6 p.m. on Monday, it's still on my Instagram. But it's just a video about how, talking to white women specifically, but I think it just fits with white people. But it just fucking didn't feel good to watch, man. It felt like she was judging and being like disappointed. It seemed really disappointed and just like tired. I'm like, here, white people, let me explain to you once again. But it really did. It answered all the questions that we all have. It really does. And the toot in it, I loved. Because it made me feel singled out. It made me feel... what she said that I loved was that this isn't supposed to be comfortable. Nothing about this is supposed to be comfortable for us. You know? And like, I know you have all the excuses. I don't want to do that. It's like, we are constantly avoiding discomfort. And we have the privilege to do so. Now, we don't. If you are not doing enough, you do not have the privilege to not feel uncomfortable anymore. That's on you. We have it now. And she also said the greatest thing, which I loved, which is like, this is what she kind of laid out an action plan for, like what you should be doing. You should be posting like the bare minimum post. You should be posting things and you should be having, I paraphrase, but, she says you're going to have to deal with rude comments and maybe she doesn't say rude, but she says if you post, you have to post something risking looking stupid. Risking getting it wrong, risking upsetting someone like me. I loved that because she's like, I actually, even though I'm telling you to post, I might not like what you post, but I'm telling you, you should be doing it. I loved that. It just, it's very poetic what she says. It's like a 4-minute video. Truly the least you can do is watch it. And I had a couple friends watch it because I posted the other day and they also shared that sentiment. So, you know, that's, last week was like, it was a dark week for on the show because I just didn't have anything to say. And I truly don't even know that I have stuff to say now. But I do. I went to 2 marches that we had locally. I mean, I couldn't have. They were literally a mile from my house. So I don't pat myself on the back at all for that. But it was really cool to see because one of the protests was happening down the road. And my parents don't live in like a rich part. They live in a rich part of town. I'm not going to like deny that. We're in a house that everyone wants to tear down though, you know, like I didn't grow up in a feeling like I was in a rich hood, but it's turned into that around us in the 20 or so years since my parents have lived here. And they chose this area to protest in because they're like, this is the richest area. This is the area that like doesn't have to deal with anything and can just ignore it if they want to. Cause what happens in the city, like St. Louis is so fucking segregated, dude. It's not good here. And I'm a product of that. Like and I've said this before and I always felt uncomfortable saying it, but there are parts of my person. I feel like I don't want to say I'm racist, but like, I think we're all racist. We all have these, Neil Brennan even did a video that was like, we're all racist or something like that I really loved. You should go watch it. Neil Brennan is doing some fantastic stuff. But I feel like I'm a product of St. Louis and that I view black people differently and I'm different around black people because I didn't grow up around them. And it fucking is stupid, dude. And I'm trying to fight it. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to feel guilty about feeling different or feeling, you know, not in a bad way. If anything, I just feel like not cool enough or like they already hate me because I'm white. You know, like this bullshit that has stopped me from having deeper friendships because I have this predisposition based on how I grew up. And I've talked about it before and it's made me, I'm already very uncomfortable even talking about this, but I want to acknowledge that I have work to do. I do. And I'm truly going to do it. I'm like jazzed. I'm fucking jazzed about it. I am. I think this needed to happen. I'm like, it's so funny to me, though. It is so fucking hilarious to me, though, that, and some memes have like captured this of like, what's wrong with protesting racism? Like, we just don't want people to be racist, and that's a problem. Like, nothing anyone's asking for is that crazy. I've been seeing defund the police, and I'm like, oh, do we want to really, like, I kind of like that I can call the police because I'm white and I'm not as scared of them. I am scared of police, but like, not even in the same, I could never imagine how a black person must feel, trying to imagine, but part of me is like, oh, we need the police. Don't defund them. But then I read something that was like, we defund education all the time, and they're still cranking. You just got to put the money in the right place. You know, like, that kind of made me realize that I got a lot of reading to do. I'm kind of pretty ignorant about everything I'm talking about, but that's how I feel. Well, I had one other thing to say, but yeah, so that's my, it's not a statement, but I just had to obviously say something. The marches are beautiful, though. They're really, you know, seeing all these fucking white St. Louisans out and seeing them very passionate about it, it felt different than you just grow up in school. Like I was talking about, they need to change the goddamn curriculum, because you grow up and you learn about the civil rights movement and you learn about segregation, you learn about slavery, you learn about everything, and then you kind of think it's fixed. Like, no one's telling you about systemic racism when you're in third grade. Like, I legit wrote an essay about Martin Luther King Jr. in third grade. I won $50, no brag, but total brag. And I really loved his message. I had a black teacher who just taught our class, like, did a different lesson plan and taught us about black America. And I learned so much. But I really, even from her, I was like, it's done. I mean, I have a black teacher. I mean, I go to school with black kids. Like, it's fixed. Like, there was this, like, idea that it was fine, that everything's fine now. And I think a lot of kids, white kids, get that of, like, it was bad then. You see the pictures, you see everything, and you're like, it's good now. And it's just not. So I think it was nice for St. Louisans to, like, show up and show that it wasn't good. My sister and bro-in-law, we ran a half marathon today, talking about some of the whitest shit you could imagine. It wasn't for a cause. There was no race. My brother-in-law was just, he ran a marathon a while back. He's been badgering me since I've moved home. In the last couple of weeks, he's been like, when are we going to do that half marathon? I'm like, Matt, I don't run. The most I've ever run is 7 miles. That was back when I was like an exercise bulimic. Every time I ate, I would have to like run to like, so I could eat again. Miserable existence. And I used to run 7 miles on a goddamn treadmill. That's just torture. At 7 miles an hour too. I would like time it perfectly. So I would be running seven miles an hour. Yeah. So I would do 7 miles in an hour. So like just exhaustive. That's how I got a stress fracture in my foot. I was just addicted to it. It was worthless. So I've never run more than that. Not a single step more than 7 miles. I would hit stop and be like done. And he's like, let's do 13.1. Fuck. I didn't give him his goddamn gift. I'm just realizing it. So yesterday or 2 days ago, he goes, well, let's do it Sunday. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I'll do it. I can do it. I mean, because he convinced me. He's like, if you run 4 miles a day, which I do run, and I don't run the same way of like, it's because I want to eat a cookie tonight. Like, I just like running. And you guys get it. Taylor Swift. So he was like, you run 4 miles a day. You just do that 3 times plus a little bit more. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually true. I could do it. And so we ran today. And it was wild. I went over to their place in downtown at like 7:30 in the morning, and just the kids woke up the kids, which is so fun to see a baby wake up. Have you guys ever seen a baby wake up? Oh my God, there is a legit squirrel sleeping on a branch. I'm going to take a picture of it so you guys can see. I need you to see. This squirrel is like chilling on this branch. Like, he's hugging it. He's lazing out. I think he wants me to pet him. Oh, he wants to come. Oh, he's actually humping it. Never mind. He's on his way there. That was a callback to when I said that I want to make small animals come. Whew. You know, before my whole speech about Black Lives. What? Whoa, he's back on. All right. Squirrel update. This just in from a local branch. The squirrel has now itched its face. That's what it did. So anyway, I went down there and I saw a baby wake up, and the baby's so cute when it wakes up. I'm waving to my neighbors, hello. And they're just seeing me record a podcast on the front stoop of my parents' house, just outside enjoying. I should have said that I'm outside if you can hear the birds. The birds I want to make come so hard. Oh, at least I make myself laugh. So I saw the baby wake up. She's so cute. Babies are so cute when they wake up. And I'm getting to know my nephew more. My nephew, like, wasn't crazy about me in the beginning, I don't think. He just was skeptical. I'm in and out. I come in. I'm, like, wearing sunglasses all the time because I'm a movie star. I've been in a couple movies. No big deal. You know, I'm just, like, no. I just feel like we never got a chance to really bond. He knows who I am. Because I think they like show him pictures of me and go like Nikki and like try to keep him updated with my life. He follows me on all the socials. He's three. So he does stay updated. I got him on my mailing list. I don't have a mailing list. I should have a mailing list. But now today I went and took a shower after my run because, okay, so we literally ran from downtown St. Louis out to the suburbs, 14 miles. You guys, I did it. 13.1, but then we walked the rest, and I was going back and forth because my sister joined us halfway through, and she was running a little bit slow, so I would run ahead and get too far ahead, so I'd have to run back, so I probably clocked in at 14, and it was awesome. I went pee under a bridge while my brother-in-law guarded me. That was cool to just drop trow in the middle of the morning on a busy, busy road. That was pretty cool. My sister also peed later on, like on a golf course in like the middle of our local, like our town. It was fun. And my brother-in-law makes me laugh so hard. He brought like really fun, like runner snacks, you know, those little gooey, basically candy, gummies. What else? It just was easy. I wish there was more to report. It wasn't that hard for me. We clocked in at like a 9:47 mile. So we weren't, you know, booking it. And I did it. And I really think I could do a half marathon or a full marathon because I just didn't feel that bad afterwards. But I was covered in salt. Covered. And so I had to take a shower. And my nephew was like, I want to go. And I'm like, he goes, where are you going, Nikki? But he says it very differently because his speech is like he talks in a code. He's not quite there yet with like full sentences and like really full sentences, but it's just hard to understand. It's funny. He's like super. He knows everything. He's just waiting to talk and to make full sense. But he's the cutest thing. So he's like, I want to go in the shower. And I looked at his parents like, no. And they're like, yeah, it's fine. And I'm like, I'm planning on getting naked in the shower. I don't want to like have to remind you what a shower is, but I'm going to be in there, you know, clits out. That's what I call it. And so what do I do with that? And they were like, it's fine. And I was like, really? And I was like, you know what? Maybe this will help me be less weird about sexuality and bodies and nakedness. And like, who cares, you know? So I get in there and naked in the shower with my naked nephew. And it was really cute. And like, he let me wash his hair and he started peeing. At one point he was holding his penis and he was just peeing on my feet, which I thought was so funny and almost gave me the license to pee because literally every time I get into the shower, I take a piss. Literally every time. When I've taken with showers with boyfriends in the past, it has been like, I have to like shut off the desire to pee because you get to pee standing up. It's like the only time as a woman that you can really just let it all go. And so I had to hold it back, but I was also like, should I just pee on this kid? And then I thought that that might be a little R. Kelly-ish. So I held it in. It was so cute. He peed on my feet. I just thought it was hilarious and adorable. What else can I tell you? They just left. I had a great day with my family. I fucking love living with my family. Don't know when this is going to end. But I'm not looking forward to it ending. God, I have so much more to tell you guys. The podcast is already over. Okay, so tuned in this week. I'm going to tell you about, I got so much more to give. So met a hot guy in my neighborhood. Don't know how that happened, but I will tell you the story. I'm just really hoping that he doesn't make it to the end of the podcast to hear this. He probably will, because he's watched like all my specials since he found out, like everything I've ever done. I think he watched. He sent me a picture of his dad watching my Degenerate special, and I'm like, I never want to look your dad in the eyes. But so that's fun. Hot neighborhood guy. I'll tell you about that because that's a good story how that happened. I watched Back to the Future 2. I have a couple problems with it. First off, I've never seen Back to the Future. I know. I've never seen it. I don't know why. I've been on the ride at Universal Studios, one of my favorite experiences of my entire life. Turns out my dad remembers every second of that ride. He's like, then you go in the Arctic and you're looking for Biff's car and the parts that, like, he remembered. Then they blast cold air in your face. I'm like, how do you remember every aspect of that one ride we went on in 1997? But he does. So I loved the ride. Never seen Back to the Future 2. Watched it last night, and I have some thoughts on that. First of all, why does Biff talk like that? Haven't seen one. Why does he talk like this? Like, his body is trying to come out of his face. It's so annoying. He scares me so much. I think I never saw that movie because Biff scared me. Because I don't like how he screams and his skull looks like it's trying to come out of his face. And I know Tom Wilson, who plays Biff. Nice guy. But I just don't like how he moves in that movie. He moves like the guy from, who I reference in Bangin', you know, the guy from Men in Black, who the alien crawls in his body and he's like an alien in the inside and he's Vincent D'Onofrio's character. That's what Biff moves like. And I don't like it. And I kept asking my dad, like, is this a neurological disorder that happened in the first one? Like, why does he talk like that? No answers. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I also got another letter from a fan. I want to tell you about that. I also want to tell you about a comment that Andrew Collins said to me the other night. I've been FaceTiming with Andrew with my parents every other night, I would say, and it's so fun and so entertaining, and he just makes us laugh and then we go to bed. So it's like, honestly, we'll be watching TV, we'll be watching Netflix, and, like, you know, like going through Netflix, going through Hulu, going through the Amazon Fire Stick, looking for anything to watch, and I'm like, do you just want to call Andrew? And then we just, like, get him on and, like, make fun of him for, and then he, like, talks shit to my parents. It's so funny. He calls my dad Turtlehead, which is hilarious. And he acts like he wants to fuck my mom. It's just so fun. But then he made a comment that really irritated. No, he made a comment that my dad doubled down on it. And I was like, no, no, no. I want to tell you about that. There's a lot to get through this week. We're going to be there together every day this week, Monday through Friday. Can't wait for it. I will see you tomorrow on the show. Thanks for listening today. And thanks for taking a week off with me last week. Squirt, squirt, jackpot. Black Lives Matter.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.